My name is Prashant Kumar. Formally, I'm the president of My Realty Gains. We are a real estate investment management company. And our goal is to, motivate our investor friends and family members. Folks invest with us and we try to acquire, distressed assets, value-add assets where either due to the management deficiency or because of capital, not being available for the management, we try to acquire those assets and try to improve the value of the assets by injecting additional capital and by improving the asset class. So that's how we improve our assets. And then we have been consistent in returns that we provide to our investors. And just a little bit about myself, basically I come from a very strong technology background, technology and management background. I personally own about 100 units for myself. I've been involved in many, many projects in GP capacity, in KP capacity in the last 5 years. And we bring value by removing redundancies in the process. Apartment operations. Besides multifamily, we are into assisted living space also. We have acquired few projects in California last year, and we are working on a few more. I've been a mentor and willing to share the knowledge with the groups, friends, and other investors. We have social media interactions. We plan to do more syndications going forward. As a matter of fact, we are working on a 228 unit deal as we speak. And we will bring it to everybody's attention in the next couple of weeks. So we are working on syndication and we are working on assisted living also at the same time. Having said that, I would like to start the introduction for my dear friend, Madhvi Nade. This is my contact information just for the reference for a few minutes, but let me introduce Madhvi. I mean, she has been, a great inspiration for me and for, my team members. So I said, Madhvi, why don't you come to our webinar? And she graciously accepted that. And I'm adding a few more folks while I'm talking to you guys. So, pardon me for slight distraction that I have, but a little bit of introduction about Madhvi. Madhvi is the president and wealth strategist at Think Outside the Stocks. She lives in Austin with her husband and two entrepreneur kids who are 11 and 17 year old. In 2015, Madhvi quit her consulting career, corporate career, mostly from the Deloitte Consulting. And she, due to health reasons, but that created a big why for her to find alternative passive investment strategies. Since then, she has built a portfolio of single family rentals, Airbnbs, and multifamilies in real estate. In addition to that, she has gone into oil and gas assets and high cash value banking system with her husband. So her struggles with finding the right education and the high quality investment opportunities made her restless and ignited a passion to educate and help the community through Think Outside the Stocks. As a wealth strategist, Madhvi assists busy professionals like us using a twofold approach. Number one, creating a saving vehicle using the magic of compounding in a high cash value banking system. Number two, creating an investment vehicle utilizing the same dollar at two places via real estate syndication like apartments. She's passionate about education and wants to continue to add value and solve problems to set financial, wealth, health in a positive direction, especially for busy professionals, women, and youth of the community. So I just wanted to read it out for her word by word. I admire her quite a bit. So I'm going to turn the stage to Madhvi. Madhvi, the stage is all yours. The way we would do is, Madhvi, is we will, I would, you know, you can continue your presentation. All right, Madhvi, it is all yours. I'm going to stop sharing.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Prashant, first of all. Thanks for such a great introduction and the opportunity for me to come here and talk to your group. I'm so excited about it. And I hope, you know, we add some value to all these people who, first of all, have been spending their evening with us today. So thank you so much for that introduction. And honestly, Prashant, I'm inspired by you. And, you know, the way you have been posting on your Facebook and live videos and people, if you haven't been hearing Prashant, please do. He, you know, makes an effort to be live and share his experiences. So thank you so much, Prashant, for doing that. You are an inspiration to me too. So, you know, a lot of the areas that we have in common, and also we do, I do the infinity banking. So yeah, let's get started. We are talking about this concept called infinity banking system, which is basically the survivor of even Great Depression. This system has never lost a penny. So this is one thing. When Prashant talks about how I'm desperate about bringing knowledge and information to people, this is one of the systems, in addition to multifamily syndication, that I am really passionate about bringing it to people and making them understand the value of this in their wealth management. So here we go. Just a little bit disclaimer from my side, it's typical. This is information purpose only. Please do your own due diligence. And I'm not a tax consultant or a lawyer, so please seek your legal or tax advices. And also examples considered this in this, the numbers especially considered in, are just information only. If you want to look at your own personal strategy and your own personal number, you're going to have an opportunity to schedule a call with me. So we will jump at that. Prashant already talked a lot about me and you know, my introduction. Like I said, I'm the president and wealth strategist at Think Outside the Stocks. I mainly help folks with the saving and the investing approach. And with the saving is the infinity banking system. And with the investments, it's the multifamily or other syndication models where I strategically synchronize with other syndicators, do the partnership and bring the quality investments to the table, just like, you know, Prashant and such a quality syndicator. So this is the passion, you know, this is really passion. The main information in today's webinar is about the savings vehicle, the savings system in my twofold approach. So the wealth maximization blueprint of the wealthy, that I call it and I'll describe it, is about doing a better savings and having the investing, which is a better investing strategy. Today, we're going to talk about the saving system, and the value of this saving system is so important. So today's topic, the infinity banking, it has different names, infinite banking, be your own banker, cash flow banking, and infinity banking, etc. So before we access the infinity banking strategy, right, let's talk about the wealth maximization approach. The perspective is everything, really. You know, when it comes to our wealth maximization, how our financial strategy look like, we typically save, invest. But what we need is a bird's eye view. And this wealth maximization is that bird's eye view, where you go a little bit up and look at your, what your wealth has been performing, what your financial strategy has been performing. And that's a bird's eye view. That perspective is everything. And that's what I realized some time back. And that's how I help people to grow, preserve, and protect and pass their financial wealth. So let's, before we do that, let's understand the wealth potential. So what's the typical wealth potential of an individual? So let's take a look at a male, 42 years old, and with a retirement age 65. Say current income is at 150K. Now, most of you may or may not have that level of income. Some will have more, some will have less. A moderate income growth, 3%, and with a current savings of 100K, growing at the rate of 6%. Now, at the lifetime, there is an income potential and there is a wealth potential of this particular individual. The income potential is whooping $4.8 million. So in his lifetime, just with that moderate 3% increase, he's going to earn about $4.8 million. No, not everything gets to us right away, but that's the income potential that particular that particular individual has. And his wealth potential, considering that current savings and returns of 6%, is actually 10 million. So that's the kind of money that we look at during our lifetime. We earn, we save, we spend some money, we invest some money, but that's the kind of potential, more or less. There are millions of dollars in our lifetime that we're looking at. Okay, so what is our problem? So we have, the problem is that one, that is savings, that our savings are not efficient and we are not protected well enough. These are our problems today. Now let's talk about, in terms of savings, what are our wealth destroyers? So the number one wealth destroyer is a tax. When we pay taxes on our savings, typically when we have interest, the bank gives us, provides us the interest, and the interest is taxed at the ordinary rate. If we are in the higher earner brackets, Robert Kiyosaki in his book, Rich Dad and Poor Dad, talks about the quadrant, the cash flow quadrant. And from left to right, the self-employed, if they have, they are at the high, you know, the top bracket, they pay about 50 to 60% taxes on that income. The employees, which are typically us W-2 employers, employees, we pay about 30 to 40% taxes. As the businesses, they can do some more expenses, they pay about 20 to 30% taxes. And the investor, to the surprise, we know that they pay 0% taxes. And Donald Trump, for example, is the, you know, best example for this. That's why we need to stay in the investor bucket most likely. But the savings accounts, when we put in bank and we put it in the savings account, that money is directly getting taxed. That's the fact. This is a sample of, you know, if we have the 50,000, each of us will have 50,000 extra income in our current tax bracket. And I'm just moderately considering 25%, 15% and 0% tax bracket here. This chart actually shows that if we have the compounded growth for 10 years for 7% growth, how this money will grow. And if you can see here, it's a 200K difference into 0% tax and 25% tax. That's how much money we are losing to the taxes. So the efficient way is legally to avoid these taxes. And this infinity banking strategy is all about saving these taxes on your growth as well. So let's talk about the inefficient savings that we have today. Now you have the worksheet with you. If you have open, please follow through with me. We are talking about your savings account. We are not talking about investing right now. We're talking about savings. So think about where these savings are situated. We are talking about your emergency money, your, you know, maybe for kids, your education money, and, you know, the park dollars, basically between the investment, if you have been parking the dollars, you're just saving and, you know, investing, and sometimes it just stays in the bank account. Where are you storing that money? So let's answer some hard questions so we have some reality in front of us. So first of all, in your worksheet, just pop out that where do you have this savings being saved? This emergency, the education or the park money. Are you saving in them in the banks or bonds? Where are you exactly saving? What is your current interest on that particular amount that you are saving? And typically it's very low. Just put a number there, just, you know, average or something, just number. Typically less than 1%. What's your tax liability on that? What percent tax bracket do you fall in? And that, you know, if you are getting that 1%, the effective tax rate, after effective tax rate, that 1% is about maybe 0.70% or 0.73%. Is it at risk of losing the money? Is it safe there or is it at risk? Are you just putting everything in the stock market? Is it at risk there? Do you have any restrictions on contributions? For example, if you are, you know, putting it into like maybe educational account, the 529 account, there are some restrictions in contributions, annual restrictions. Do you have any access restrictions in terms of liquidity? Can you access that within few days? Do you have any purpose restrictions that, hey, you have to be retired at particular age that you can access this from, or your kids need to be in college to access this education money. Does it provide any kind of asset protection if you have it in bank or something? Does it provide any asset protection? And if not, how much do you have to spend in that asset protection? So answer those questions. If this worksheet is just for you, so just put that number over there. And does it provide any additional benefits for saving that, putting that amount, high amount in the banks? Does it provide any benefits? Well, I will say, what benefits really, right? There are no benefits, absolutely no benefits provided. So that's the problem with the savings vehicle. And in terms of the protection, if you have like a life insurance policy, say for example, like a term life policy or a whole life policy too, let's talk about that protection. Typical life protection in terms of life insurance, it comes into different vehicles. So again, there is that exercise, just put in front of that, what is life protection that you have? Is it term life? Is it a whole life? Is it an IUL for you? And what type of annual cost do you have? Say if you're paying say $1,700 for 30 years in a term life policy, is that refundable for you? What's that annual cost? And multiply by that by 30 years and see that what that 30 year cost for you. If it is just a term life, that 30 years is basically just money down the drain for you. What is the value? If you have like a whole life policy, what is the value after 30 years in that particular policy? And what is the protection that you have after 30 years? And if considering that 30 years, is there a rate of return that you can actually identify? You can put a number to it on that particular protection. So this is the problem. You can see your own number, your savings and protection are right in front of you on your face, and look at it and see what that story that they tells you. And this is the perspective, the bird's eye view that I'm talking about. Savings typically we don't have any much choices. So that goes neglected. And infinity banking is something that we can provide that focus right back at it. So today's focus is that solving the savings vehicle, all those problems that we talked about, we're going to talk about it today. So what's the solution that we need? We need a solution of the savings system, which basically never loses money, which does not have a contribution limit, which grows tax-free, which has a better, much better interest rate than banks can provide us, which is liquid and available during our emergency anytime at a very short notice, which we can withdraw at any time for any purpose at any age, which also can be managed as a tax-free withdrawal with strategy. And we can park this money between the investment to earn this compounded interest. So this is the savings vehicle that we are looking at. And trust me, all these benefits, all these things can be achieved in an infinity banking system. If you had not known about this, this is the aha moment that I had when I realized that this everything can be managed with the infinity banking system. And most importantly, it is a zero risk. There is no risk. It will never lose money. It has never lost money for hundreds of years. And people have been using, like Rockefellers have been using this system. Let's understand the hierarchy of wealth. Now, Maslow had created a pyramid for human needs, basic human needs. Now we utilize this pyramid and we actually are turning the financial strategy in terms of this pyramid. This pyramid is a very good perspective of how your financial health is. Now think about it. This pyramid needs the foundation to be very solid. That's never gonna move. That's never gonna lose any money. Think about it in terms of camping. When you go out and go in the camp and you put out the tent, we really enjoy that. But would you stay in that tent for 365 days a year? No, you want to come back to the house where you have the foundation, you have the roof on your head, and which is so sturdy. That's exactly what this savings and protection needs to be. And in this pyramid, as you go up, your direct investing, your indirect investing, and your speculative investing, especially in stock market, comes in picture. As you go up, the risk of investment goes higher and your control goes down. The savings and the protection, that's the one that you need to be full, complete control of. So we start at Think Outside the Stocks. When I help you, I start with at the foundation. At the foundation of this is a high cash value, believe it or not, but life insurance policy. And that's the basis of this infinity banking system. This infinity banking system combines your savings and your protection. You are your biggest asset. So this is the combination that is at that foundation that never loses money, that gives you all the advantages that we talked about some time back. And then as we move up, as you go up, you kind of start doing other direct investing when it comes to businesses or your real estate investment. Then there are some investing such as what Prashant is talking about, the multifamily investments or mobile home park investments. And at the top layer, there's that speculative stock market investments. So that's the hierarchy of wealth. That's the perspective that we're talking about. Just to recap, at the bottom, we have that emergency money, that protection that never loses money, that provides that hedge against all the chaos. This is the insurance, this is the wealth maximization account that we create. As we go up, we have different type of investments. When your money overflow from this account, the wealth management account, we call it as an opportunity money. You can also leverage this money and fund your investments. This is the strategy of using the same dollar at two different places. We will go in the details a little sooner in this presentation, but understand that concept, that opportunity money it can fund your investment if it overflows beyond your emergency money. And when it starts creating that earnings and that cash flow, it can actually come down and fund that wealth maximization account and keep on providing that compounded growth for you. And on top of it, for protection, we also have to think about how we can protect and pass that generational wealth. So the estate planning and the insurance again comes in picture, and that wealth maximization account, that insurance, it covers for that purpose as well. So that's our wealth maximization blueprint. This has been used for hundreds of years by wealthy of the America. And if you haven't heard about it, this is the time that you need to know about this and see how it can be implemented in your own strategy and what it is really means to you. So with the banking system, we are providing that efficient saving and the efficient protection. So if you think about it in terms of the different characteristic of the vehicles of the savings, in terms of the CD or the money market or savings or the qualified accounts or home equity loans or stock portfolio, our life insurance and the permanent insurance policy is the only thing that is providing you the safety, liquidity, great rate of return, and a great taxation strategy. This is actually growing tax-free. So traditionally, the life insurance was used for protection only. Only the death benefit was a possible outcome for that. But with this strategy, you can actually live your life insurance and you can use the wealth maximization strategy for savings and the protection. Just to think about it a little differently, we have been saving money in, say, 401k, in our retirement account, in outside of the 401k, and say if we start saving in this life insurance policy too. Suppose you have at the end of, retirement age, you have to start taking about 80,000 to live on every year. There are three buckets of money. The first bucket is the pre-tax, which is your 401k. Now 401k, it has been brainwashed to us that we have to do the retirement account. We have to do the 401k account. But can we think about it that we don't know what the tax rate is going to be 20, 30 years down the line when we actually retire? This is like writing a blank check to IRS. IRS can change these rules anytime.
assuming that it's a the high tax bracket, and that's the Congress playground, by the way, we have a lot of money that we will be spending in taxes out of that 80,000. The second bucket is the post-tax money, where growth is taxed in the capital gains. The last bucket is the tax-free, and that's the life insurance bucket. So for the same 80,000 that you took out from these accounts, the 50,000 is what you have from your Congress playground, the 401k, the retirement accounts. The post-tax is about 66,000. And if you take out from life insurance, you get all the 80,000 to spend for yourself. So this is a strategy which is actually can be used for long run too. Now let's talk about why do you need to be thinking about being your own banking? Why do you need to start thinking about leveraging your own money? I did this small video a couple of days back on Prashant's timeline. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it, but if not, I'm just going to quickly go run through it. Being your own banker is about using the power of leverage. When the bank, you provide about $10,000 to bank to safe keep, they may be providing you about a percent interest, say about $100 for about a year. And after tax, it's a little bit less, by the way. And suppose somebody else takes a loan of that same $10,000, and on an average, the bank provides 8% interest, that's about $800. Simple math is about $700 profit for bank from that $10,000. But think about it, it's about 700% profit. And this does not even consider the fractional reserves the bank has to carry, which typically, by the way, is 3 to 10% of that $10,000. So that's the power of leverage. That's why the rate of return is really high for the banks. And this is exactly what you can do in your system and use that power of leverage. And now quickly, so simple interest basics. Interest is something you earn or you pay. The green back is here. The green boxes here where are typically people where we save and we pay in cash. We earn that interest. And the red box is where we borrow for the bank, for example, like car or houses. So we borrow from for a bank. And the small line up there that's on the sideline, the green line, is about that added interest on top of it. Now the type of spenders that we have, there's debtors, which basically will always loan money from bank for whatever matter it is. There's a car or house or education or even vacation at some time. Typically, this is how their bank account looks like. They're always in negative. They're spending money, they're returning that money, that they're taking that loans from the bank and then returning to the bank. That's the continuous point. There are a lot of people like us, we are savers. And this is exactly what I did in my life. We saved. When we wanted to buy, we emptied out our bank account substantially. We paid for that car. Same thing, we saved, we did a down payment for our home, education, maybe, you know, for my kids, I would have done the same thing, but now my strategy has changed. So typically the savings account looks like what the right-hand side shows like. It is a good account, it is a good standing, a little bit of saving, but we keep on constantly losing that opportunity. Now, what is the true cost of doing that? What is the true cost of saving and emptying out your bank account? If you're saving $1,000 per month and you're getting uninterrupted interest of 6% for 30 years, say, the green chart shows your growth. It almost is $1 million at the end of that 30 years. But since we have been saving and emptying, this is actually another aha moment. I realized that, my God, I'm losing that opportunity. I'm losing that opportunity cost of saving and getting that compound interest for myself in the bank. Well, why would I do at first place? Because the banks are not giving us enough interest to have that compounded growth. So the compound interest, as Einstein says, is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it. So the wealth creation strategy is actually about doing that savings, never interrupting it, compounded growth over the period of years. So it exponentially grows for us. And when we want to spend money for car and home and other stuff, we are actually leveraging that money, taking that loan, and paying off that loan step by step. This is the strategy that we're going to talk about. And what happens to our savings account is actually at any point, it looks much, much better. And a year passed by, it starts looking better and better. And it is one of the support that we can also provide and utilize by multiple examples, like 529 instead of 529 to support the education cost, to support our retirement, etc. So this is the wealth creation strategy where we want to save, we want to earn that compound interest, we want to leverage, and we keep on going compounding year after year. Summarizing it, the life insurance, the high cash value life insurance policy is your being your own banking strategy, the infinite banking strategy where you can protect, preserve, and pass generation wealth. And this is the way the life insurance is not just for a death benefit anymore, but you can live your life insurance by having no contribution limit. You can set your own contribution limit based on the death benefit that we can, you know, we have to structure it strategically. You can set your own contribution limit. Your money grows tax-free and, you know, your distributions could be tax-free too using the leverage strategy. The loans are never taxed. You have the guaranteed returns, which is government mandated. 3.5% is the guaranteed returns and plus proven dividends. We do this with very known mutual life insurance companies, which have been in business for hundreds of years. The access to money in case of emergency, it's absolutely immediate. No questions asked. They will just ask you, where do you want your money? There's no approval process. There is no credit check or anything of that sort. There is no limitation on access. They cannot say that, hey, if you don't use it for education, you cannot use it, which typically happens with the 529 plan. But there is no limitation on retirement age or purpose of it. And it automatically provides asset protection in most states. The creditors do not have access to this cash value in most states. You have to check your own state regulation for that. But they do not have access to it. And sometimes in most of the college applications, this money is not even accounted as assets. So that's kind of an additional benefit there. You can pass this wealth tax-free to the generation. So at any time, the death benefit is always tax-free to your next generation or to your heirs. What's interesting is this has been, like I said, existing for hundreds of years. Walt Disney used this strategy to start his Disney World. When banks did not give him loan, he used his money from the life insurance policy to take a loan from and to start the Disney World. JCPenney, he used his money after 1929 crash. And John McCain actually used to fund his campaign against Obama. Now, the most interesting is the Rockefeller family. Rockefeller family, there is a concept called family offices. They have a family office. And what they have is a combination of a strategy of a family trust and a high cash value life insurance policy. Whenever a new person is born, they create that high cash value life insurance policy for them. And this is the way Rockefeller money is still supporting about 150 heirs. And if you think about it, this is the great strategy to even keep on consistently having and passing this generational wealth and building it more and more. So how to use the same asset at two different places? The infinity banking asset is called the AND asset. You create that wealth maximization account within the life insurance policy and you start earning that net cash value. When you have expenses, you know, you take that policy loan and just like how you will pay for a bank or something, you will pay into the policy and the net cash value keeps on increasing within the policy. But I would recommend before you spend that money and, you know, account for expenses, I would recommend to invest that money into rental or other investments, direct or indirect, as the pyramid we talked about. And we take that policy loan, fund our investment, get that cash flow and fund that life insurance policy back again. Most common question that people will have, and I always get, and I decided that let me just address that before I have that question, that why not borrow from my own policy? Why not just empty that cash and borrow from my own policy? Well, you're losing the opportunity cost. If we have 2,400 per year, say for 20 years, and say at around, you know, around age 30, we removed about 35K, this is the drop in the potential income that we have. So the exponential growth will happen in both the cases, but this is the difference that we'll have. And this is exactly what we are trying to avoid. And we don't want that to happen. And that's what the opportunity cost we're trying to avoid. When we borrow from our own policy and we don't, basically from insurance company and not from our own policy. For example, if we borrow 50,000 and we have 6% interest and we're paying down the mortgage, we're paying down the principal, in 25 years, we will end up spending about 46,000 in interest. And if we have the same 50,000 inside a policy earning 6% interest compounding every year, remember the principal is growing every year. We have interest earned at the end of 25 years about 164,000. This was my aha moment that, you know, I kept on asking that why could I just not draw that cash from my own policy? So this is why we need to implement the strategy of pulling your money, not pulling your money, but instead of leveraging your money from the insurance policy. So let's talk about the design of it, right? So a typical whole life policy, you may ask, Madhvi, the whole life insurance is really costly and an expensive insurance policy. Why would I do that? Well, the priority of the whole life policy typically is the death benefit. Cash accumulation is just something as a side effect. It happens in the insurance policy when it comes to the whole life. But when we say that we strategically design this policy, what we do is we overfund the cash part of this whole life policy. And on the right-hand side, we can see that, you know, we push instead of that 100% premium going towards the insurance, we push the only one third, sometimes like an 80-20 split as well. We push that premium to support the insurance, only the one third part of it. And the two third part of it is something which is called the paid up addition, which accelerates your cash growth. This is the part which provides you the high interest rate in here. And this is the part which is flexible, which is liquid from day one. So you can literally implement this strategy. And when you have that two third of premium going towards the cash value, you could just turn around and borrow from that, leverage that money and implement into whatever investments or other things that you want to support. So again, the difference here, instead of supporting just the death benefit, the cash value accumulation is the number one priority of this infinity banking strategy, and the death benefit is a side effect of it. That's the difference. That's the implementation difference. And not many life insurance agents would do this or know about it. That's why it's really important to implement this with somebody who understands this.
So Madhvi, there was a question. Sorry, I'm jumping in. Saurabh was asking is how the life insurance payments are tax-free. I mean, that was a fundamental question. That's why I said, let me ask you before we go further.
So the payments are not tax-free. The growth inside is a tax-free.
Okay.
The payments are post-tax payments. The growth, that's the interest, that dividends and the interest that you are earning inside of the cash value of the policy, that's tax-free. Does that answer that?
Yep, that answers it. Okay. Yep, please go ahead.
So infinity banking strategy, the step one is that strategic structure I just talked about a few slides back. Step number two is max fund your cash portion of that life insurance policy. So there is a minimum requirement payment and there's a maximum payment. If you adding that maximum payment into the cash part of your life insurance policy, that's what is going to generate that growth. Then the step three is the receive guaranteed dollars and the dividends year after year. Step four, I kind of see that I have numbers kind of misaligned here. But step four is let it grow without disturbing for years. And if you need that money, use the accumulated cash value, use the leverage to use that money. Now let's jump into the example. I'm taking an example of a 40-year-old who's contributing contributing 20,000 per year. It's contributing for 24 years and we are looking at a growth after 30 years. Say 35% is the combined tax rate for that person. In the insurance returns in this policy, 3.5%, which is the government mandated policy returns, an estimated of 3.4% dividend. Now this estimate is based on what last year dividend has been. So we just took the current and we just said that, okay, let's take that as a dividend, as a current dividend, and see what that growth looks like. So for that particular instance, for the 20,000 annual contribution, notice that the first year itself, we have about 12,000 available in cash value for that person. This is the leverage that you can do. You can actually leverage and invest into something. Not too much value here. We are not contributing a lot. Also, we are contributing 20,000 here. Now note that this is not really an optimized illustration. I have optimized to up to 80% values, you know, depending on your health condition and stuff like that. You can even have about 16,000 very first year available for you. As the years go by, just start noticing. So first year, your total cash value increase was 13,000 with the dividends. Now look at where the break even happens. At the year six of the policy, we have paid about 120,000 in this policy. And instead of the 15 years that we saw previously, 120,000, this is the break even that's happening here. So after this point, really the death benefit is just like an added benefit that you've got free with this policy, and your cash value is increasing. Now note that there is a column which is increase in total cash value. This is year after year increase. What happens is first few years, this shows, you know, when you paid 20,000, you got cash value of about 13,000, 14,000 first couple of years. This is the years the insurance company is actually holding back some of that amount and it starts giving you back after some years. So in 20,000 that you're contributing, by year three, you're actually getting more money that you contributed that particular year. As you go down, you can see that in year 10, you contributed 20,000 and that year's growth is about 32,000. And after 15 years, when you contributed 20,000 in it, you got about 43,000 in the same year, because now your growth is supported, it's compounded. This is where that exponential growth happens. So at the year six, when it breaks even, it starts getting that generating more value for you. So in terms of IRR, we are investors, we like to look at percentage, right? We like to look at the IRRs, right? So in terms of IRRs, look at this. After 30 years, we contributed 24 years, about 20,000 to it. 0% tax on the growth. If you are earning the same interest in the bank, you would pay some taxes on that growth. In 30 years, 1.3 million is the net cash value in this policy. And the death benefit is at 2.2 million. Notice that not only your cash value is increasing, but your death benefit is also increasing, which the example that I showed you earlier, there was 1 million level death benefit. That means the death benefit never changed. But in this case, the death benefit is also getting advantage by added cash value. So in terms of the IRRs, you have about 5.37% year after year, which is compounding in your cash value. And in your death benefit, you have about 16% IRR. So that's the magic, that's the power, that's the strength of this compounded interest and keeping that year after year for, you know, at least 20, 30 years in that policy. So just to bring it on to our, you know, normal conversation and compare it to the typical savings account that we have, compared that 5.37% that we just saw in that example, the saving account equivalent, if you are earning that 35% interest, is about 8.26%. So it's almost equivalent. Every single year, if bank gives you 8.26% compounded interest and you pay taxes on that, if you have managed investments in stocks and you're providing 1.7% management fees, that's equivalent to your same stock accounts. It's about 10.14% equivalent. So for that 5.37%, even that amount seems small to you, think about what that equivalent to the savings account is, what that equivalent to managed investment account is. This is that power of the compounding. And also, when we talk about the average returns, for example, in the market, I'm just going to take some example here and, you know, bust a myth about that on an average return. So in year one, suppose we say that there's 100% return. In year two, there's a 50% loss. Year three, there's 100% return. And year four, again, 50% loss. We define this as an average of 25% returns. In year one, you have a dollar, which got converted to $2. Year two, $2 converted back to $1. And $1 converted back to $2 in three and back to $1 in year four. This is actual return of 0%, but the average return was calculated as 25%. So going back to this slide again, the previous slide, that 10.14%, that's again, you know, with a pinch of salt. So what are the additional benefits that you got with it? You, of course, got the death benefit. There are also some small additional costs. You could have a disability waiver to waive your premiums. And there are chronic illness riders or accelerated death benefits if you have, you know, some conditions which just jumps upon you at the later stage of life, and you can access this death benefit when you are alive in terms of these illnesses. So you will say, Madhvi, this sounds too good to be true. So where is the catch? Well, there is no catch really, but what it needs to be is a medical qualification. So depending on your medical health, we submit it to the insurance providers, the mutual providers, and depending on what tables you get you know, your policy illustration defined. You also have the time capitalization factors. You cannot say that, Madhvi, okay, let me just put it in 5 years, let me just access or take out the cash value. This is not a get rich quick scheme. You have to put this money at least 20, 30 years in there. And there is some government limits which kind of has a proportion to what the death benefit is and what your cash values you have been putting. And actually, this is the only limit that I, you know, the government could put on the life insurance policy. Otherwise, life insurance government has no control on the life insurance. And the number four catch is it has to be, I cannot insist enough, it has to be structured properly. So the key to the infinite banking is a two-factor compound interest formula. Money stays in the policy uninterrupted for long term, and it keeps accruing consistently without disturbance. And you must structure your policy properly to maximize the cash value, minimize the expenses and charges to insurance, have unlimited access to spend that money tax-free and uninterrupted compounding while you invest that dollar for the growth. So the one product solution for the permanent life insurance, it provides you effective savings, which is guaranteed plus the dividend. It provides you protection and safety in terms of death benefit and asset protection. It provides you the flexibility and liquidity, the fast access without any restrictions, without any questions asked, and the additional benefits that we talked about. I also have some commonly asked questions. I'm just going to answer those real quickly. Those are two questions. A lot of folks talk about that, you know, there is a lot of dependency on dividends. So how about dividends? So I just pulled up a chart about how the historic dividends has been for these companies. So mostly we do structure these policies in a very well-known companies, the companies like Mass Mutuals, Penn Mutual, Guardian, etc. And this is their historic dividend rate. And you can go back and look at since 1990s, they have been consistently providing this dividend. And there is never a zero in any of these tables. So this is the rate that they have been providing. And actually the 6%, around 6% is on the one of the lower side right now. What about the insurance safety is another question that I get asked. And as I said, This survived the Great Depression. This has never lost a penny in 200 years to anybody. Banks actually have high cash value life insurance policies on their executives. These are called the bank-owned life insurance bullies. For example, Bank of America has $21 billion in secured in this policies. The contract for the government imposed contract is 3.5% and plus dividend is what we get. These companies, like I said, is hundreds of years old. Like for example, Penn was founded in 1847. And this assets that get distributed, the insurance company don't use a lot of leverage, but they do the cash flow dollar to dollar. They have at any point of time sufficient money to cover any claim or any claims that they have. There is also a reassurance that covers the unexpected cost. So they buy themselves some insurance, they can cover the cost. And also there is a state guaranteed fund which each insurance company contributes to. And if the company cannot pay you, the state guaranteed fund is obligated to pay you to support your claims. What about the insurance expense? As you have seen that we break even about 6 to 7 years, and over the period of the life of the life insurance policy, it's less than 1% typically. So that's typical what we see. So just to review again, what the wealth maximization strategy is, the wealth optimization blueprint is about funding this foundation, the wealth maximization account, the bottom layer with the emergency money and protection. Have the opportunity money, fund your investments, have the earnings and cash flow, fund back your bottom of the pyramid, which is sturdy, which will never lose the money. Provide a high level protection in terms of estate planning and the insurance cost, and take back your control. So ask yourself a question. If a bank and institution provides you about 7 to 8% compounded growth year after year, now, this is before the tax, and we saw that equivalent was 5.32%. If it has zero risk, you will never lose this money. This money is always accessible to you. Sometimes within a day, they can have access to you. If it provides you life insurance protection for life and plus some additional benefits, why would you not save your emergency or parked money there? Well, the challenges typically we have is in the mindset, and I've always seen that. The first challenge is the herd mentality. Do what everyone else is doing. We were literally brainwashed to start saving in the retirement account and max funding our 401ks. But what has our 401k done for us? We do not have control over it. We cannot invest in real estate or other alternate investments and just tie it in a risk environment of a stock market. We have also life insurance stigma. Trust me. I mean, tell me about it, really. I ran away from life insurance agent, and that was because it's tarnished. The life insurance agent, as you know, to be behind the commission, they have tarnished this industry. And the benefits of the life insurance policy, especially the whole life, has remained hidden. But these have been used year over year for hundreds of years. And the next problem is, the next challenge is, we learn about it, but we don't take action on it. We learn, we understand, and in a couple of days, we start forgetting that. So instead of that, be the one to take an action, be different, and set this in motion for you right now. Yeah, I'm going to take a pause here now.
Break even on cash value and life insurance.
So there is a question Madhavi Saurabh is asking, just to confirm, if a 48 year old starts doing this, then by age of 60, the maximum they have put in is about 200,000. Is that correct?
You can set your own limits. You actually have, like I said, there is no contribution limit to it. It has to be in proportion of the death benefit. So based on the way I structure it, I do a reverse engineering approach. I look at how much money you want to keep it in there, how much you want to maximize it. Do you want to fund it in first year, or do you want to fund it in like 7 years and stop after that? Or if you want to keep on funding it for lifetime. So I look at all the different criterias, and then I help you do that. So there is really no contribution limit. you can set your own contribution limit to it.
Great. So Lam has asked a question, and I would let Lam speak. Lam, do you want to ask that question?
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I didn't realize I was unmuted already. So I'm sorry I hopped on late. So I know this life insurance debate is a very controversial topic. There's one school of thought that has once said that life insurance should not be used as an investment vehicle. And the reason why is these people say that the money that they can save from the life insurance premium, they can use it as capital for other investments that they can make higher rates of returns. So if it takes 6 to 7 years to break even in the cash value of the life insurance policy, wouldn't that be 6 to 7 years of wasted potential gains in other investments? What would be your rebuttal to this argument?
Great question, Lam. Thanks for bringing this perspective. So first of all, the vehicle that we are talking about is a savings vehicle. So that's the first differentiator that we have to keep on looking at is as a savings vehicle. We are not talking about your investments in here. We are talking about the investments as we have seen in the diagram, the pipeline diagram that we have seen, the investment which has the risk and it has a chance. Even if you have protected in the real estate, you have an asset-backed protection to it, it still has some risk. So we are talking about the savings which you anyway have to provide as your emergency fund, as an education, or even you are parking between the investments in here. So this is the one thing that you have to remember, that this is a savings vehicle, not an investment vehicle. And yes, there is a lot of school of thought which says that, you know, life insurance is a waste of money, but we just looked at, you know, how we can reduce the cost of life insurance over the period of time. Now we are combining the two products, the two benefits. If you have, say, for example, a life insurance policy, say a term policy, and paying about 1700 or say 2000 a year for 30 years, that 60,000, you're literally draining that money. You instead bring it to this strategy and you implement that so that there is that drain is not happening. So one important differentiator that this is a savings vehicle, this is needs to be applied where you have that emergency buffer, your business reserves, your personal reserves to support your family in time. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you so much. So this is life insurance is seen as a savings vehicle and not an investment vehicle. Is that?
Yes. I cannot insist enough that this is a savings vehicle where your emergency money and your other money is growing better than the bank is giving you the money. And at the same time, you have all these added benefits to it.
I got you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Great question. Any more questions? Do you want me to go through the chat and check out the questions?
I have not seen any more questions. I mean, Madhvi, I think you have covered a lot of things.
Okay, so let me just wrap it up a little real quickly. So the other challenges that typically individuals who come to me have is they do not have insurance outside of employer, and actually they don't realize they need insurance outside employer. I would highly recommend to think about it, because by the time you will start being independent or have business or want to retire early, that time it's going to be really expensive for you to get that insurance. The next problem is the design is really tricky. So you have to go with somebody which can strategically design it for you. People sometimes have existing other whole life policies. If they are not strategically designed and they cannot perform for you, we can actually solve that problem too. And we have, also think outside the stocks. I also help with alternate investments, but that's not the topic of coverage here.
So guys, thank you so much again. And Madhvi, thank you so much for this valuable information that you have provided.